Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, with me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Joining me back, as always, in the co-seat, in my driver's seat, my co-host, Ray Jones. Ray, what's good with you?
Hey, what's up, Kelsey? I'm ready to get this show going. I'm excited about our guest today.
I am excited. Sports fans, I hope you are excited, too, because on today's show, we are going out to Baltimore and welcoming Kelsey University head men's basketball coach Pat Scarion. For all of the Baltimore fans are saying Kelsey's house is not in Baltimore. Well, it's close enough. But we are very excited to have Pat on this show. I think it's going to be great. And Ray, as you know, we're getting closer to March Madness, so we have to bring in some college hoops on. So we have lots to talk about with Coach.
And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN.
All right, fans. So now, unfortunately, I think it's time for one of Ray's corny jokes, but the lesson will get you back on track. All right, Ray, go ahead and hit us with the joke for this week.
Why would you put that negative energy in the air? Like, you didn't even...
Sorry, I had to laugh at my own joke.
Now the fans are going to be like, oh, it's not going to be a great joke. You already put the negative energy up.
I set you up. Because now you have to prove me wrong.
Now I'm going to hit you with two. Now I got two.
All right,
jokes.
I'm ready. I'm ready, Ray.
Don't interrupt. Let me be great.
All right. Lips close.
All right, the first one is, why does James Harbin... Oh, excuse me. You made me mess up. Now I'm nervous because you made my joke. You put all that negative energy now.
Because it's going to be bad. That's why you messed up.
I don't even want to do that. But I'm going to do it anyway. So, okay, why? Look, I got to change my voice. Why does James Harden bring a suitcase to basketball games?
Why?
Because he travels a lot.
Oh, that's actually funny.
I'm just going to move on to my second joke because you messed it up. So I'm going to just move to the second one. This is a great one. Don't interrupt this one. This one is a classic. I'm going to be honest with you. I found it online. It was like a kid joke site. I can't remember the name right now, but it was dope.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and it's for our international guests, too. So, question. What lights up a soccer stadium?
Answer, I have no clue.
A soccer match.
I have no clue. It was not funny, Ray.
Are you serious? You didn't like that one?
You're about to make us lose some fans on this show, but I hope they stay with us because I'm not.
That one was dope. I don't care what you say. That one was dope. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and move right along to the sports history of the day. February 21st is the day I selected back in 1953. It was the longest collegiate basketball game between Niagara and Siena. It went six overtimes. Can you imagine six overtimes? And guess what the final score was?
I know it was high.
No, it was 88-81. That's how you know
it
back
was
in
six
the day.
Overtime?
Yeah, that's crazy, right? No shot
Think
clock.
About
that's
that.
Shot
that's
error.
Crazy.
So they just were
sitting
there throwing the ball around, no 3-point line. It was crazy.
Jeez, that sounds like a game me and you played for this. But let me switch over to my sports history. This week also in 1941, Joe Louis back out of Radio and two for the heavyweight boxing title. Had to give some love to Joe Louis, so that is my sports history facts for this week. We have to make sure we give the fans keeping up in sports history, right? But that being said, we're going to take you guys to a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with KNN from venues around the region, email Kelsey at kelseynelson@foxsports1340am.com. For more information about Listen In with KNN, visit FoxSports1340AM.com.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the DMV. I am the other Ray J, along with Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Join me in welcoming Towson University basketball coach Pat Scarry. How are you doing today, coach?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Doing well.
We are fantastic.
That's great to be here.
All right, sir. And before we go any further, I want to start off with a little icebreaker game we like to call This or That. It's basically a simple game where I get everybody loosened up. I give you two options, and you pick your preference, basically. You ready to start, coach?
I am ready.
First question, Gatorade or Powerade?
Gatorade.
Sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie?
Sweet potato.
Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Droid or iPhone?
iPhone.
All right, I got the easy questions out the way. These are a little more difficult. These are more basketball related questions. So Wilson basketball or Spalding basketball?
Wilson.
Morning practice or night practice?
Morning, 100% morning.
John Stockton or Isaiah Thomas?
Which Isaiah Thomas?
Oh, Detroit Isaiah Thomas.
Detroit Isaiah Thomas.
Jason Kidd or Gary Payton?
Gary Payton.
Steph Curry or Kyrie Irving?
I got to go with Kyrie because it's my son's favorite player, so I don't have a choice.
Aww. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
All right, and last but not least, Jay Billis or Dick Vitale?
Jay, but Jay? I love Dickie V. Yeah.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to put too much pressure on you with that one, but...
Well, Coach, we had a pleasure getting to know you just a little bit, Ray. I like the switch up with the basketball answering questions this week. That was fun. And it seems like everybody still picks sweet potato pie. I think, Coach, I'm still the only one to say that prefers pumpkin pie. So I guess it's just the odd person out. But that being said, Coach, again, it's an honor to have you. First of all, congrats on a great season with Towson University men's basketball. And we'll just get into it, Coach, because we know, obviously, you are a busy man. So Towson, currently, you guys have won 5 of your last 8 games. You're coming off a win against Drexel on Saturday, 92-77, in an autism awareness game. So we love that fact of it. So, Coach, that being said, overall, what is your assessment on the season?
You know, we've had 10 new players, which is obviously a lot. So we've kind of had it all, Kelsey, early in the year. We had a couple of season-ending injuries. We had a guy that we were trying to get eligible immediately on an NCAA waiver that we didn't get. And we had a whole lot of close losses. But I like the group, and we have, you know, we've slowly gotten a little bit healthier, and the group's worked hard, really hard, and we've gotten better. We probably should be 9-1 in our last 10. We've had so many like close losses, but the one thing that I've liked with the group that we've really tried to preach is our best basketball ahead of us, or is it behind us? And we've been playing better and better, and you know, you hope now coming down the stretch that'll persist over the next 3 weeks.
You talked about some of the things you had to deal with. I want to take you back to your first season before we go any further. I know your first season was a little rough. You guys went 1-31 the first season. Then the next year, you ended up winning 18 games. It goes down in history as the largest single season turnaround in NCAA Division I history. So can you elaborate on some of the changes you had to make to actually turn the program around?
You know what? Good players. That was the key. I don't think, you know, anyone knew what we were walking into the first year. And that group actually got better throughout the year. They really did. It just, we just didn't have a lot to show for it. And, you know, we had a couple transfers sitting out. We went out and recruited guys. And as a staff, and I had a really good staff, that we thought we had a chance to be really good that second year. And we ended up being good. We started slow. We were like 4-9. And then slowly built some momentum and you know, got better and better. The thing that group of guys never gets enough credit for, we went from 1 win to 18 wins, and we weren't allowed to play in our conference tournament because of an academic ban, APR ban we inherited. And I always said that team was primed to, you know, to win our conference tournament. We lost the regular season title by a game and had won 7 of our last 8 conference games that year. So those guys, you know, the success of our program the last few years really had a lot to do with that group that came and changed things quickly.
And Coach, looking back at this season, I mean, before this season in the CAA preseason poll, Towson was picked 10th to finish, basically, in other words, last place, right? But now if we look at the schedule and the rankings, I mean, you guys are 6-8 in the CAA, and you're currently tied for 5th in the standings with William and Mary. So can you kind of speak to the conference play that you guys have had, and how do you kind of hope to improve over the course of the season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we probably should be better. We've had some growing pains in conference play, but like the guys have stuck to the script, and you know, we've tried to preach all year about having a clear understanding of what it's going to take for us to become a good team. And I think to the kids' credit, we've slowly rounded into form on that. You know, we've had but that second year team was very similar. We were picked dead last in the league and lost the league title by a game. You know, so. Mm-hmm. I always tell our guys, which isn't easy to do, I know, in this day and age with social media, but you know, to block out a lot of that stuff and you know, just worry about what we need to do to win basketball games. And we're not a place that ever talks about, you know, if we could win 3 more, we get this. So that we just try to talk about the next opponent the next day and just trying to get a little bit better. I think when you do that, then you have a, you know, you're in a position to win every night, and through experience, you start to win, you know, close games. My hope is that this group's coming around with that, that now that they've had some experience playing together and kind of been through some wars, that we're getting a little bit better in those type of situations.
And Coach, well, to piggyback on that a little bit, what do you think is going to be the biggest key to making this run or put this push for the tournament?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, for us, it's not, you know, we lead the league in field goal defense and rebound margin. So that has to be a staple for us, you know, to have some success. And then on top of that, you know, we preach ball security. We got to take care of the basketball. You know, Saturday was, you know, everyone talked about we scored the ball so well, which we haven't always done, but we scored the ball really well against Drex. So that's why we're up 27 at the half. But as I told our guys today, if we happened to have a horrible shooting night on Saturday, we still would have been up 7 or 8 at the half, because we held them to 27% shooting in the first half, you know. And what I think you hope when you come down to a conference tournament where you have to win 3 games in 3 days, you know, you don't always know if the ball's going to go in the baskets, but you got to be really good down the other end of the floor.
And that being said, Coach, I mean, all eyes are on Brian Fobbs and Tobias Harris Jr., who, of course, helped by Towson over the last 8 games. I mean, they've just been spectacular in play. So that being said, I mean, how are you really priming and prepping them as we get closer to March?
Yeah, this kid just keeps getting better and better. He's got such a great dose of humility. He's talented. He works hard. He's a good teammate. He's a good person. And I still think he's got a whole nother gear he can get to. You know, this is his first year with us. You know, if you had 13 guys like Brian Fobbs, I don't know if you'd need coaches, because the kid just, yeah, he just does what he's supposed to do all the time. With so many new guys, is we probably coach him the hardest. And he's just one of those guys that takes it, and he helps you as a coach, because you can say, well, wait a second, if this guy, if you can get after this guy every day, and he takes it, he's averaging 19 points and 7 rebounds. Well, why can't, you know what I mean? Why can't you be coachable? Yeah. You know, that's where I think, like, he really helps you as a coach.
That being said, Coach, I'm just really curious. Overall, how would you describe the overall identity of this year's Towson University men's basketball team?
You know what? They've been their work ethic has been an A-, and they've been a very connected group. They get along really well. And, you know, we have not won as much as we've been accustomed to winning. But we're very close to getting back to where we were. And it's, you know, I wish, and my hope is that we can get another, you know, we got 3 weeks, you know, to whoever wins our conference tournament. My hope is we can get another 2-3 weeks, because this group is getting better and better. And I think they, you know, I think they can get there, and I'm also excited because we have so many that are going to be back a year from now.
Yeah, definitely exciting. And just if we stay on shooting, I mean, Towson has shot 48% or better from the floor in 5 of the last 8 games. What would you credit that to?
Yeah, I think that, you know, sometimes with so many new guys, Kelsey, and mm-hmm. you know, you're implementing some new schemes on offense, it's just taking longer, you know. And I think guys have started to settle into some roles, and you know, kind of through some game experience and daily practice and film and stuff. starting to see where we're having some success. It just, I think it's just taken a little bit longer than maybe we had hoped for.
For sure, for sure. And I appreciate your honesty and your candidness on that question. All right, now I'll hand it over to my co-host, Ray Jones.
I see you've had a lot of experience as an assistant coach over the years, going back to your alma mater, almost 2 decades, it appears, of coaching experience. What was it like for you to...
Ouch.
I didn't mean to age y'all, apologize. But how did it feel, I guess, going from being an assistant for so long to finally becoming the head coach? Tell me what that experience was like.
Yeah, it's not easy. You know, it's I was a small college head coach, and made the decision to kind of get in the, you know, the proverbial rat race of Division One, and I was fortunate to work with a lot of other good assistants and for some really good head coaches. But with that, it's tough because you get married, you have kids, you move your family around. That stuff's not easy. And then I had a really good assistant job at Pittsburgh working for Jamie Dixon. And when this job opened, honestly, everyone told me not to do it. But I really wanted to be a head coach at this level. That was my goal and my dream. So I jumped at it and really have never looked back. I work for a great institution. We have an awesome president, a great athletic director, who's also a friend and a super area. So I've been fortunate that way. I hope I get to coach at Towson for a long, long time.
We hope so too, Coach. We can continue to have you on this show, and we honestly think you're doing a fantastic job. And that being said,
well, I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, no problem, no problem. It's honestly true, and that's why we were honored to have you on this episode. And that being said, though, when people look back and see you at Towson University and look back at all the work you've done, I mean, what would you say, Coach, you want your legacy to be at the university?
You know, hopefully that we've turned out productive members of society, that I think, you know, the relationships you build with your players are not 4-year relationships. You know, you want them to become 40-year relationships. And I hope our guys, one thing I like about Towson, I think we're blue collar. I think our students know how to work, and they take that experience and work ethic into the workforce and make a difference. And I hope our players and our student athletes in our program are a microcosm of what the rest of our university stands for.
For sure, for sure. Go Tigers. Coach, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate having you on. It was a true blast having you on, and best of luck the rest of this basketball season.
Thank you very much, guys. You have a great evening.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with KNN from venues around the region, email Kelsey at kelseynelson@foxsports1340am.com. For more information about Listen In with KNN, visit foxsports1340am.com.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, where you are here with me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, and joined by the one and only my fellow Georgetown University graduate, Ray Jones. We are about to take you guys to sports around the nation, but really quick, we want to make sure fans that you follow and engage with us. So to make sure you don't miss a single episode, be sure to download and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Google Play. That's right. We give love to iPhone and Android on the show, so be sure to download it and also rate and review us. We want to hear your feedback. Even if you have to comment about Ray's bad, corny jokes, let us know in the rate section. We are now going to switch over to sports around the nation. Ray, you're supposed to laugh, but it's okay. I'll laugh for you. We are going to, of course, talk about NBA All-Star that wrapped up in Charlotte.
You're not going to sit here and keep slandering my jokes. It takes me a nice little bit of time trying to keep jokes, and I think they're pretty funny. I've gotten some nice little feedback on them.
You know what, fans, if you think Ray's joke is funny, hashtag listening with KNN. And show Ray your support. Tweet at him at the other Ray J. All right,
dude,
Ray. We're going to see what he's
That James Harden joke is hilarious. I can't believe you. He said, why did he bring a suitcase to the game? Because he travels a lot? That took a lot of creativity for that one.
Okay, right. Whatever makes you sleep at night, we will go with. But that being said, we're going to switch it over to All-Star. I think some better jokes than Ray had over the weekend, where Jason Tatum, shout out to Boston, who won the Skills Challenge. Did you get a chance to watch it at all?
Yeah, I thought the Skills Challenge was dope, especially, did you see how he won? It was Trae Young was actually in front of him, and he shot it
from the half court. That was crazy. Knocked his ball and everything. I thought that was fun. I think that was the most fun Skills Challenge I've actually seen in a while. And also, I mean, Jason Tatum kept playing from behind too, right, Ray? Which made it even more fun that he came back and won the title.
It was kind of crazy how he was always behind, but he ended up catching up everybody. So, yeah, him hitting it from the bank from the half court, he didn't even – it was just – his expression when it happened, he was like, oh, whoa, his reaction was crazy. Right. So, that was dope.
It was good. That's why I was going well with Boston. I mean, hey, he's doing the thing. And the three-point contest, Brooklyn. Shout out to Brooklyn, right? Got to give New York
Brooklyn,
love.
Brooklyn.
Joe Harris, or Joey Buckets, as he also is called, is the three-point contest winner. That's right. I did not say Steph Curry, people. Joe Harris. I think he really made a name for himself. I mean, he denied Steph Curry that win.
I mean, honestly, Joe Harris surprised me. He was hot in the first round. And then, of course, Steph heated up in that second round. He heated up in the first round. I think he hit like 10 straight shots or something. And then he heated up in the finals too, but it wasn't enough. It was surprising to see Joe Harris. Like, I've heard of him. I didn't realize he was such a knockdown shooter like that. So I think it surprised a lot of people, especially with some of the big names that were actually in the competition. You had Steph Curry. You had Devin Booker. You had Kemba. Like, there were some shooters out there.
It was very, very exciting for him. And as they say, though, Ray, shoot. We got to continue on. We got to give some love to the slam dunk contest. Why get into it? Did you think this year was interesting? Because there's some comments on that. And some people were saying they need to bring back the superstars in the slam dunk contest. What do you think about that?
I mean, we kind of passed that era in basketball right now. Superstars don't necessarily participate in the slam dunk competition. If they do participate, it's usually only one per year. The days of having Kobe and Vince Carter every single year and stuff like that, it's not going to happen anymore. But I still think it lived up to the hype. I thought the dunk contest was very, very entertaining. Of course, my guy didn't really do well. Dennis Smith, he made it to the finals, but he didn't win. He missed a lot of dunks. And that kind of takes away from you missed the same dunk over and over again. And but the winner, I'm going to let you go ahead and butcher his name. Because I know it's Diallo. God.
I can say the last name. Hey, I don't think I can say the last name. You say the first name.
I believe it's pronounced Hamidou.
Hamidou. Say it to him.
He's
make
from
sure
Left Rack City, Queens. So shout out to New York. New York kind of dominated the All-Star game, to be honest with you.
New York is dominating everything. They got Cardi. Yeah. They got Diallo. What does New York not have? Right.
We got KD. You know, KD's on the Knicks next year, so you know.
No. But KD's still reps TV County, so we're still claiming him in DC. So we're not giving you guys KD yet. Don't make me think about KD going out there yet, Ray. I'm not ready for that yet.
He's going.
But funny when he the tribute he did to Vince Carter, I loved it, Ray. I loved it. This young man is something to watch. And some are saying, get this right, some are saying in 2020, this is who they want. This has been in the tournament. They want Diallo, Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine, and Zion Williamson. Are you for it, Ray? 2020 dunk contest?
You know what's crazy? With that lineup is cool, but I can't believe they left out Ja Morant in college right now. But he has bun knees. Like, I don't know how tall he really is in real life, but he looks like he's like 5'8 on TV. But he can jump, man. He can jump. He can dunk with both hands. He's explosive. He can dump up for one leg. He can dunk up for two legs. Like, he needs to definitely be. I wish it would be those five. Those five would be cool for me. But I think next year, I think the slam dunk competition would definitely be great. This year wasn't a disappointment. It went well. It was just the fact that Dennis Smith missed a lot of dunks. The other two performers didn't really. I was a little disappointed. What's his name? Miles Bridges, I believe. Yeah. But Diallo's dunk over Shaq, that has to be. That's a very hard dunk.
That.
I think it was very underrated.
I loved that. And you know what? The reason why I love the people in the dunk contest this year is because I think it's now a time to make a name for yourself, and I think that's exactly what Diallo did. The average basketball fan knows who he is, but now the average person might get to know who he is. And I like that they give credit, and give exposure to these young players. Because the NBA, let's talk about it. I mean, the future of the NBA is here. I mean, did you see the cool jersey designs, Ray? That they unveiled?
Definitely.
That was pretty cool.
I like
the jersey. I mean, we were going to talk about technology.
I'm a little confused by those jerseys because that they're going to lose money. Like, if I can just change my jersey, like, I want to know how it's going to work. Like, if I can just change my jersey, my number, and player, like, am I going to have to buy, like, a pack? Like, you know how the video games
I
wonder if it's going to be that type of thing.
I think Scottie Pippen that made that point, too. Like, how are they going to lose money from that? That's a good point. I think that's something we really need to get into. I think that's a good thing about technology. It's great and all, but I think we really have to sometimes slow down and figure out, like, wait, like, right, what are the effects? Of what's going to happen. But I did love the memes of everybody making fun of KD saying he'll probably be changing his jersey the most.
Before you go on to the actual game, we got to talk about the musical performances, man. I thought those were great.
Yes.
I thought Anthony Hamilton tore down
the national anthem.
Like,
Fergie,
that should be the new version. That should be the new version. I'm going
to
be honest.
Yes. He took me to church where I was sitting there. I didn't really remember where I was. I mean, it was just so spiritual and I felt it. Like, I felt it in my soul, right? So that made me excited. So Anthony Hamilton, bring him back every year for all I care. Like, he got it right. So
we had a little
forget Fergie, so that's good.
I will never forget Fergie. She's a meme classic forever.
But he was great. J. Cole
came out, he came out with the intros. He gave us like a mini concert. He went through all his hits. It was good to see Meek out performing again. I'm going to his concert in a couple of weeks, so I just got excited when I saw Meek come out.
All right, you have to throw that in there, though, right? Not taking your call, but that's fine.
Hey, tickets still on sale, you know. You can still get out there.
I love Meek. You know, it's funny. I don't know if you noticed in the stands, but Robert Kraft had on like a similar chain to Meek. And a part of me wonders if Meek really gave him that chain. That was just something I noticed on Pete.
I remember, I think Meek said he actually gave him a chain. I don't know if he like, gave
I
him
I figured that,
but
because it was too Meek Millworthy. It was not a Robert Kraft chain. It was definitely, it had Meek written all over it. So that's funny. But J. Cole had to give love to him, of course, representing North Carolina. He always is keeping it real. With that throwback Hornets jacket that I need from J. Cole, like, tomorrow, right? J. Cole was fantastic, and I have to give props to the NBA because I thought their musical selection was A+. Like, it was superb. It was superb. I have no complaints.
And I didn't think about it till after, but if you think about it, the entire All-Star Weekend, they kept playing Petey Pablo. They didn't include him in the All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
Like, he tweeted out a couple, like, his distaste about how not being involved in the weekend. Granted, he's not a superstar right now. He doesn't have a record out right now. But just because, just to channel into that element, that Charlotte, North Carolina element, I think they probably could have had him just at least perform that song because that is like the North Carolina anthem. And they were using it
for
all the commercials anyway, so you might as well have him do it at least one time.
It's just tough. It's tough. I still think I would have loved to see him in it, but I'm giving Adam Silver in the NBA. I'm giving him the job well done. You can't make everyone happy, right? You just can't. But real quick, I want to show some love to the celebrity game. I feel like a lot of us aren't talking about it. Some people said it was boring. But Quavo, people are saying now, I don't know if you saw the tweet, some are saying that he can play in the NBA. there was even Ray Sun saying that he's better than King LeBron. I don't know what they were on that night.
You saw Ray Allen definitely still had it in him. Him and Jay Williams were going back and forth a little bit. It was a rumor. I don't know how true it was, but the Houston Rockets may have offered him a 10-day contract to see if Ray Allen wanted to retire. Can you imagine him in their system, though? He's the ideal fit.
Oh,
he's
my God.
Staying that corner, not gunning them three. So it makes sense, but if he's in NBA shape yet. Because even in the celebrity game, he looked a little winded at times. It could have just been him coasting. You never know. But if they say Quavo can make it to the league, then I can make it to the league. No shade against him, but they hype him up. But my guy that I want to see in there, honestly, to be totally 100 with you, is 2 Chainz.
Uh-huh.
2 Chainz can actually hoop. And he's tall.
Brown, though. I'm just saying, because Brown can hoop, too.
But they've had Chris Brown before. They never allowed 2 Chainz to hoop in a celebrity game, and I don't understand why. He actually said something about it on Twitter and on Instagram, like, hey, why are you guys, like, why am I blackballed from the celebrity game? And I kind of want to know, too, because he can actually hoop, and he actually could have made it to the league. He was a college player. He played pretty well in college. He should probably get in the celebrity game, but that's just my 2 cents. I plan on making it to the celebrity game one day, too.
I knew it was coming. You make it, I hope I'm playing against you in the celebrity game.
I'm crossing you. I'm gonna cross you. I'm crossing you right into
you. Silent but deadly. I come out. I'm like Steph Curry coming out of college. Like not many would expect a lot from me, but then I'm gonna come out like fire. So I'm gonna say my game is like Steph Curry, right? So you're in trouble.
Look, they just better catch me within the next 2 years because my knees only got like 2 years left. So we gotta blow up real quick.
Oh my gosh, too funny. Well, maybe, what is this? Okay, so this is 2020, right? 2020, Ray and Kelsey, the celebrity game. We're speaking it into existence now. But now we're going to the real stars.
I can't go to Chicago. I'm not playing in Chicago.
Chicago's cold, too. Yeah, Chicago's cold.
I'm not going to Chicago. 2021, holla at me.
Too funny. We're going to the real stars of the All-Star game. I thought it was fantastic. DSE stand up because Kevin Durant won MVP. He honored with his 31 points. I thought he was great in the celebrity game. And we had Team Giannis against Team LeBron. Team Giannis, of course, was leading. And they looked like they're just about to take it away. Giannis Antetokounmpo just was doing everything in his power. And his team was supporting him. He was fantastic. But then Team LeBron, just LeBron, and came back like we expected, I guess. Or maybe some expected. And won the game. But overall, what did you think of the All-Star game, Ray?
I thought the All-Star game was dope, man. It was good. My favorite moment was when Dirk came in and hit those three threes.
Yes. Yeah. And his wife standing up with a three up on the sideline. Oh, I loved it. The game is going to miss Dirk so much. But he kind of outshined Dwayne. Because after that, like, Dwayne had the pressure on him. He wasn't able to do what Dirk did. But Dirk, I feel like he does not get enough credit sometimes, but just a spectacular all-around player.
We're going to miss Dirk, him running around with his stilts. I swear he doesn't have any kneecaps. He runs like he's on
That's
stilts.
That's so funny. But you know, was why he sat down after that. He was like, I gave y'all 3 for 3. I'm done. We enjoyed it, Dirk. We enjoyed
seeing
him. And then, yeah.
Oh, I just got a quick question to you, though. Does this – I heard about it earlier. I heard a little whispers about this question. Does it set a bad precedent for them to have, Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki as honorary players? Like, are we going to do this all the time? Because if you gave it to Dirk and Dwayne, I feel as though Vince got to get this same honor next year.
Who?
Vince Carter. He's definitely
got
it. And it would have been ideal if it was this year in North Carolina because, you know, he went to UNC. But you gotta do the same thing for Vince, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Vince Carter, and I think anybody who's anybody would say this, Vince Carter, I mean, he has his own legacy in basketball. Let me tell you, Vince Carter put respect on his name and legacy, truly. But I really like the honorary idea, and I think they agree with you. They would definitely have to. But I think it just shows the NBA paying homage to just the fantastic players that they are. I mean, just seeing the greatest players around NBA All-Star, like just saluting these guys and really enjoy them and, like, just send them off in style. It was fantastic to see. I mean, even Wade having his son there, and Wade had a pretty good game. Like, and of course, seeing him and LeBron, like, I mean, nothing can compare to that or compete to that. So, Ray, I'm a fan of it. And again, I think the NBA gets it right. I love the new draft format they did. I love the trade that they did for the draft. I think the All-Star game, they're finding ways to make it better and better. And if you notice, I haven't seen people complaining about it as much. So I think they're getting it right.
I agree. I definitely agree. I just want to see, I wonder, like, let's go back to that. They got to do this for Vince, too. It's just that I don't know that there's a counterpart that's going to be retiring when Vince retires.
That's what will be interesting. Yeah, that's what will be interesting. It will. You never know. Wade or Dirk might give a tell us one more time. One last dance.
Dirk is done.
Dirk can still shoot, though. Hey, Dirk can still shoot. I know he can't run. He might give you a couple points off the bench. No, I'm going to miss Dirk. I'm going to miss him coming into the locker room and walking into the stadium with his plates and the foil on it that his wife made him. I feel like she doesn't give enough credit for making sure he was well fed so he could produce on the court. But both of them were just spectacular players. Game will miss them. Players, I mean, they're just fantastic. All right, Ray. I think we've hovered over NBA All-Star a lot. It just shows how much we should have been there and missed it. But no, all around, I think it was great, and I'm glad that NBA also was in Charlotte. Salute to Charlotte. Heard a lot of great things about the city of Charlotte hosting, and MJ, of course, his legacy town, right? And it was great. Well, that being said, let's move on now to football, where everybody, Ray, and their mom and their mom's sister and their sister's sister and everybody is talking about Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid. Why? Because they have finally settled their joint collusion grievance with the NFL, of course, which we've all been talking about. And I think some people forgot that this case was even going on, Ray, because it took a little while to happen. So basically, his attorney claimed that Kaepernick had gone unsigned because the NFL and its owners colluded to deprive Mr. Kaepernick of employment rights in retaliation for Mr. Kaepernick's leadership and advocacy for equality and social justice, and his bringing awareness to peculiar institutions still undermining racial equality in the United States. So that being said, Ray, just give me your thoughts when you first heard that this went down, and how do you think, I mean, what do you think the next steps are for Colin Kaepernick?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I do believe that now he'll get signed to a team. I feel like that was the biggest reason why he was going unsigned, is because no team wanted to sign him while they were in the middle of a collusion case. But I feel like now that cloud is gone, that he could potentially make it to a roster. And I still feel like I did a couple of shows ago, I told you guys, that Carolina Panthers are my most obvious team that he would get signed with. Eric Reed is already on the team. Cam Newton is fresh off a shoulder surgery. He may be ready. He may not be ready. Even if he is ready, Colin Kaepernick, I think, is the ideal person or ideal player, or at least he was, to fit into that system and kind of run a similar offense as Cam recovers from his surgery. I think at this point, Colin Kaepernick still wants to play football. He's already made it very clear he still wants to play. Hopefully a lot of teams, and I don't think all the teams really had an issue with him signing. It was just that there were certain teams that had a problem, so that made it a problem for everyone. Now that the collusion case is out the way, that's no longer an issue. It's no longer an elephant in the room, and he can get signed to a team, because there's a lot of teams that need a quality quarterback. And when he went out, he was still putting up decent numbers. Granted, his team wasn't winning, but it wasn't in spite of him. He actually was playing relatively well above average. It's just his team was in a rebuilding mode, and they lost a lot of players the previous season, so they didn't do well. But he got a lot of flack for that. But it really wasn't him. So I can definitely – if he's still in shape the way he was, 2 years is a long time out of the league, and it'll be his third season out here shortly. So he's going to have to put in a lot of work. But him coming in as a backup, I think that's a huge possibility. Maybe not a starter right away, but as a backup, definitely a possibility.
We know Kaepernick hasn't played since the 2016 season, right? And then, and that's after which, of course, he opted out of his contract with the 49ers, who were going to cut him anyways. But then, if you think about it, you remember the Seahawks were supposedly serious about signing him, and the Ravens were. Now, I remember with the Ravens situation from covering that, they were saying the season ticket holders were, like, having a fit if they signed Colin Kaepernick. And then the Seahawks, you know, it was kind of quiet, but then all of a sudden he didn't get signed. And then the news came out, right, that the Alliance of American Football, of course, which is the new league that you guys can watch on CBS on the weekends, they were saying, and basically it's a spring league, right? They start up right after the Super Bowl, and they're brand new. And, of course, this league gives its players 3 years non-guaranteed $250,000 contracts. They were saying that they also spoke to Kaepernick to gauge his interest level. But that being said, I don't think that we are going to see Colin Kaepernick back at the NFL. I would like to, Ray. I'll be honest with you. But I think the NFL, it had to be a lot of money, Ray. They're not disclosing those details. It had to be a lot of money. And hopefully Eric Reed got it. Hopefully the same amount that Colin Kaepernick got. But that being said, I think the NFL knows if Colin Kaepernick is to get back, especially after winning this case, I think they would know. I mean, it would be a big PR hurt to them. I think the NFL is big on being powerful, Ray, and they like controlling it. And like you, there's a lot of bad quarterbacks. A lot of teams could use quarterbacks. And the NFL draft, I don't think there's enough good quarterbacks coming out of the draft for teams to have. But I really just don't think we're going to see him in Jersey, Ray. I think his football career is done, but I think his advocacy work will continue to live on, and I think that's really the next stage of Colin Kaepernick. I think Colin Kaepernick, the activist and former football player, I think that's what we're going to continue to see in 2019 and beyond. It'll be interesting, Ray. And like I said, I would like him in Carolina. I like what you're theorizing, but I just don't think we're going to see it. To keep the show going, because there's so much happening in the sports world, because when is it ever not? Kyler Murray, I'm trying to give him a different name, right? Kyler Murray, he chose football. Were you surprised, Ray? We will not be seeing him in a baseball uniform. And of course, he's a former Oklahoma quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner. Of course, there was a good interview with Deion Sanders interviewing him. And of course, Deion Sanders was able to play both. And I went to a thing right during the Super Bowl where Deion said he wishes society would not make you have to pick just one sport. But that being said, I mean, the A's are prepared to pay Murray nearly $5 million in signing bonuses, right? I mean, he's about to get paid, Ray, as we like to say. But NFL, Kyler Murray, where do you think he will go in the 2019 NFL draft?
Honestly, I'm not really sure which team he'll go to. I think, obviously, Dwayne Haskins is going to go first. Hopefully, the Giants potentially move up to get him. But I'm not really sure where Murray's going to go. He's obviously going to be probably the second-best quarterback in the draft, so he's definitely going to go relatively high. I just don't know where. There's a lot of great defensive players in this draft, and there's also a lot of great quarterback free agents. No, not great quarterback free agents, but good quarterback free agents that will be available. So there's a lot of moving pieces right now. So it's really tough to determine where he'll go, especially with a lot of teams, a lot of people speculating about his height being an issue. So will teams kind of be a little apprehensive about that? You never know. It's really tough. I'm not sure where he's going to go. My biggest concern, honestly, is Dwayne Haskins going to the Giants. I think he made the best choice financially, of course, to go to NFL. He's going to definitely make more money in NFL, and he has the opportunity to play right away in NFL versus going to the baseball for the Oakland A's. So that was kind of a no-brainer as far as him giving that money back to them to join the draft. And I hope he made the right decision. It's just the shelf life of NFL players is so short, man. Hopefully long-term, it's not an issue. But
and his size. I mean, let's be honest. Everyone's talking about his size, right? I think there's longevity in football. You just talked about the shelf life of NFL players. But I think in the draft, he'll be drafted high. Of course, teams need quarterbacks. A lot of teams, I think, get excited about the draft. But then, of course, there's also Drew Locke. There's Daniel Jones. We talked about Dwayne Haskins. But NFL draft, of course, coming out. We're helping a special draft show, right, to give some love to everybody else. But 2019 NFL draft in Nashville, Tennessee this year at the end of April. But Kyler Murray, keep an eye on him. It'll be very interesting to see. But, yeah, your Giants are. I wouldn't be mad at him for getting him. But going on, let's talk about the NBA Africa League. I think we just have to quickly mention this. You know why, Ray? Because former President Barack Obama has teamed up with the NBA and the International Basketball Federation to create this new league that will have 12 teams from several countries across the continent of Africa. That being said, Ray, are you excited at all for this? I mean, what are you thinking? I think countries like Angola, Egypt, Kenya, Morocco, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, South Africa will be involved in it. So, I mean, what are your overall thoughts?
Of course, I'm excited. I'm a huge basketball fan. So, anytime there's more basketball, I love it. There's been a lot of great players to come out of Africa. So, it really makes for the NBA to expand, and then to have 12 teams across the whole continent is going to be huge.
Yeah.
It gives an opportunity for a lot of players to just get the experience of playing in a league and then potentially coming over. You know, some of the legendary players have come from Africa.
Yeah.
You got Dikembe Mutombo, Akeem Olajuwon.
Yes. Georgetown, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of them,
the great Manute Bol, legendary players just coming from over there. So it's a great opportunity for the NBA to expand. And the NBA, like you said, they always get it right, man. And Adam Silver has done a great job as commissioner just expanding the league. Kudos to the NBA.
Yeah. It's exciting. Like you said, a lot of great basketball players have come from there or have heritage from there. I mean, just Andre Iguodala, I mean, Victor Oladipo, he's African. Like, there's so many great players that it's just they go back, they help out, and obviously I think it's the next generation. Lots of great players. I mean, Greek Freak, we talked about the NBA All-Star. Yes, he was born in Greece, but of course, by heritage, he's African. And look, I mean, him and all of his brothers, Ray, are just sick and crazy fantastic. So I think job well done by the NBA. Very excited for that league. And Barack Obama might have to see him suit up some and play against some of those players. Now let's move on real quick. I want to just give some quick news, because if you have been anywhere around the sports world, you know about Manny Machado. You guys, after 113 days, a free agency, Manny Machado is headed over to San Diego on the largest deal ever handed out to a free agent. The magic number here, Ray, is $300 million. That's how much Machado is expected to get for a 10-year deal. He is 26, Ray, just like moi. He's about to get paid. That being said, when you heard the news, Ray, did you agree?
I mean, honestly, when it comes to baseball, I always look at the years. Like, 10 years is a long time to commit to one player. And $300 million is a huge number, but I think the bigger number, like I said, is 10 years. 10 years is a long time. And it just it's just amazing to me how they can commit to one person for such a long time. Like, you have to anticipate some type of drop-off at some point. So once you get to that, you know, that seventh, eighth year, ninth year, that money is going to look real bad on those books, because you're paying someone that's obviously not going to be producing at that same level from the beginning of the contract. So 10 years is a long time. Like, that's why I love the NBA, because they set a max. The max is usually 5 years. And 10 years, I don't know, just 10 years to me is just too long to give to any player. I expected, especially with the free agency taking so long, 113 days as a free agent is a long time. I expected him to get a shorter deal, like maybe a 1-year deal for $30 million or something like that. But
Yeah.
At 10 years, man, that's a long
time. It's huge. And it's funny, too, because he's going to a team, the Padres, who have averaged about 72 wins over the last 8 seasons, you guys. And they haven't made the playoffs since, rewind back with me, 2006. But at the same time, I mean, Manny Machado, he's a great player. There's only been 6 players that have hit more home runs since the start of the 2015 season. And only 4 players that have more hits in that time, right? So, I mean, he's a great player. And then, but still, that's a lot of money, like you, Ray, said. And 10 years, I never want to sign somebody for that long. But for Manny Machado, job well done into his agent because, I mean, the man is set. And hopefully, he can bring San Diego a championship in his time there. Wouldn't that be something, Ray?
Definitely.
Only time will tell. But for $300 million, I definitely want a championship ring. I'm just saying. Maybe it's just me. Let's move on, Ray. Sports Around the Nation, of course, lots going on. But it's now time for a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back to talk all things sports right here on Listen In with KNN.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
It's now time for my Kelsey's Do Good Sports Organization of the Week Award, where this week I'm very excited to honor the National Student Athletic Society, where today I am joined by special guest Daniel White, the founder and president of the organization. Daniel, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you, Kelsey.
Yes, I'm excited to have you. And Daniel, let's just get into it. So tell us a little bit about the mission of your organization and why it was started.
The mission is to advocate for student athletes in the school system from middle school to high school, provide mentoring to student athletes on balancing academics, athletics, and social skills, positive social skills, is what we do, provide mentoring. The program came about with, of course, with my history of what I can do to help other student athletes so they wouldn't have to struggle through things that I did coming up in middle school and high school. My career as a professional athlete ended abruptly. I struggled academically through school, trying to get into colleges. I was found to have, in my day, that wasn't known, was dyslexia. And so achieving success in the athletic arena, but struggling academically, major colleges were coming after me. I had to go and settle for wherever I could with some help, which was Johnson C. Smith University in Charlotte, North Carolina. I had to leave due to injury there again. I got picked up by the World Football League where I excelled, and then it led to a career in the NFL with the Detroit Lions. I got injured, and I had nothing to fall back on. So I was one of those players in that era that was playing professional sports without a degree or without the education that I needed to move my, you know, my life. So I prayed for something that I could do to help. After my settlement, I took the settlement and went to college and finished at Ohio University, where they helped me to learn how to study, to learn how to take tests, introduced me to communication and note-taking skills. These type of things is where I got help. I had been writing a lot of documents on my struggles, and one of my professors said I had a program. So I moved on that program and graduated a bachelor's degree in 88. I established the name of the program, the National Student Athletic Society, spiritually led to provide them with mentors. Where do I get them from? So many student athletes are graduating out of college, looking for jobs, wanting something to do, and who better to get than those that have gone through the balancing of the curriculum of being a student athlete. So it was the development of the National Student Athletic Society, which is now 501c3 organization. We've been operating since 1987, incorporated in 2002 with our 501c3 status, IRS status, starting affiliates in Delaware, Pennsylvania, and seeking to move into Maryland. We've been operating in Delaware for 4 years now. We're seeking to operate back in PA and Maryland with the program. We receive some funding. It is a membership organization for former high school student athletes to support mentoring throughout the country. As we plan to expand, we're looking for student athletes to now take care of their own, such as the military take care of theirs, academians take care of theirs, musicians take care of theirs. But we need someone to take care of our student athletes and mentor them with balancing academics and athletics, things that we struggle with in school. Some of us did and some of us achieved that are able to give back to those that are struggling. So that's where we are with the National Student Athletic Society and what we seek to do. We have a body of board of directors that are helping to move the program along. So we do seek assistance. Kids go to camp free in the development of their athletic skills, and it's a year-long activity that we follow them academically in school to achieve a good GPA, to increase it, decrease absenteeism, set behavior goals so there's less referrals for behaviors. It's also supplying the school with more bodies to take care of those student athletes that may be going through some struggles. I came from a single parent household, and I'm sure many have, where we had to go back into the environment and deal with the environment. A little less with anyone understanding some things that we're going through. So now you have a mentor that you can talk to and share, build trust with, and a rapport with to help you through some of the struggles as you grow. So that's what we're doing with the National Student Athletic Society. And we continue to move on in that direction, Kelsey.
Your organization is amazing, the things that you do for our youth, the way you reach out to our kids, at-risk youth, and just kind of like develop them into be better human beings. So I wanted you, if you had an opportunity, to share one of a success story of one of your previous students that went through the program.
As we do the interview, you know, different media has come out and interviewed some of our students. Students are now learning that at the grassroots levels that they're coming in, particularly our middle schools, they're coming in through the fifth grade from the elementary school, who are getting exposed to sports. And they may have gotten exposed when they were in Pop Warner leagues or park and recreation leagues. But now in school, as you begin to move and develop in junior high, competition becomes a little greater, expectations are a little greater. Of classroom participation, teamwork concept, all these things that we work with our student athletes on doing. And then there's the classroom component that we have in camp that you spend 45 minutes to an hour in the classroom doing rotation on the study skills, test-taking skills, the note-taking. Our students were very excited about having that component because they were saying, well, now I can use this in school. I can do this in school. I know how to study. I'm learning how to study. I'm learning how to take notes. I'm learning how to communicate. These are the things that we learn, we teach to set goals on the behaviors and the expectation of being a student athlete, because you're carrying a load of student athleticism representing your home, your family, your school, your team, and yourself. And so understand what being a student athlete represents. We are leading country in the Olympics with our student athletes. This crisis is going on with our kids that not being able to really confide in people on things that are going on. So we're talking at the grassroots level where our kids are being successful going through this program. I'm sorry if I'm a little lengthy, but it's a passion.
That is truly wonderful. Daniel, again, we are so happy about the work that you're doing. That's why we wanted to highlight you and have you on the show. We appreciate you taking the time out. So just want to congratulate you once again for being named Kelsey's Do Good Sports Organization of the Week. And before I let you go, where can people find out more information about your fantastic work in your organization?
Thank you. Well, we do have a website that we have up and running now. We are looking to enhance it some more, but it's www.nsas.info. www.nsas.info. I can be reached also at phone number 717-919-1567. Information can also be sent to receive at P.O. Box 6, Lincoln University, Pennsylvania, 19352. Members to join the organization and information that they may need or inquire can reach me through those systems.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Daniel. We will definitely be checking out your site. We'd love to have you come back on. And once again, please keep up the great work. And thanks for joining us here on Listen In with KNN.
Thank you very much, Kelsey. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thanks so much again. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
It's now time for my Kelsey's Doing It Big in the DMV segment, where I show love to DMV area sports, where this time I am going to my alma mater, University of Maryland Terrapins. Uh-oh, football, we are back in business in the Big Ten as Josh Jackson transfers to Maryland. Yes, if that name sounds familiar, he is the former Virginia Tech quarterback, okay, who entered into the NCAA transfer portal in late January. And yes, he announced on Twitter that he'll be heading to College Park, Maryland to join Mike Locksley and the new regimen. All right, guys. And if that's not enough, he will have 2 years of eligibility remaining. So he's basically the gift that keeps on giving. Ray, are we going to win a Big Ten title at Maryland now?
Honestly, I'm just happy to see Maryland heading in the right direction. They had a lot of turmoil last year. There was a lot of changeover going through that.
Yeah, don't remind us.
Mm-hmm. Just get that negativity out of the building. Let's just start fresh. So it's good to see them, a fresh start, new quarterback, new system, and just get the ball rolling. Let's move to the next chapter of the Maryland football.
Yeah, it's exciting. Like you said, Maryland, we faced a lot last season, but I think it's a good turn. It's a new leaf, and I think Mike Locksley is in the right direction to making Maryland football competitive in the Big Ten. So with that being said, fear the turtle. All right, I will now send it over to you, Ray, to our Are You Serious Right Now segment, right? What are we complaining about this time?
Okay, so got to take it back to the home city, the New York Knicks. You know, rumors have begun to swirl about some comments made by the Ringer's Bill Simmons on his podcast. Simmons speculated that Knicks owner James Dolan wanted to focus more on concerts and in-game experience in Madison Square Garden, and he was making the Knicks available. He is beginning to court offers. Of course, representatives for the Knicks have said that the claims are 100% false and he's not shopping the team. But honestly, if you think about it, the Knicks are priced at nearly $5 billion. So Dolan has to somewhat consider that and maybe take into consideration it may be time to move on. You got to think, he took over the MSG, the Madison Square Garden, back in 1999. The Knicks made the finals that very first year and haven't been back since. Can you believe that? Since 1999, they haven't been back. They've gone through 12 head coaches and several, mm-hmm. several GMs, a lot of player turmoil. And right now we have the second worst record in the league. So maybe it is time for James Dolan to, you know, move on to greater pastures, focus more on the entertainment aspect of the Madison Square Garden, and push the Knicks off to somebody else. He seems like he has a lot on his plate right now. Hey, so, James Dolan, I know you say it's false, but are you serious right now? If you are, don't play with my emotions, man. If you want to sell the Knicks, go ahead.
Ray, somebody you seem like you're trying to buy the team.
Hey,
let me find out you got $5
billion. I got a couple dollars. I got a couple stocks. You know,
so you'll have to get into it with like 500 other people.
I mean, I only have about 4 or 5 stock in Madison Square Garden, but it adds up eventually. So, you know, we might be able to do something. But, yeah, that's James Dolan. If you're selling the Knicks, man, are you serious right now?
It just seems like New York is just the gift that keeps on giving us controversy. Right, I remember hearing about this back at an ESPN interview he talked about where he said basically that he'd never rule out selling the Knicks. I don't see it being true, but Ray, I mean, if it happens, I'd be very interested to see who the next owner would be. So something we'll have to keep an eye on.
Definitely.
All right, let's keep the ball rolling, Ray. And now let's head over to my Woman Crush Everyday segment where I am giving love to NASCAR. I don't know if many people watched the Daytona 500 that recently happened. But that being said, there's a young girl by the name of Haley Deegan who you probably haven't heard of because you probably aren't watching NASCAR, but that's my job to change your mind. But she's 17 years old, and she's a rising young female star in NASCAR racing. That being said, if we rewind back to September, she became the first woman to win a NASCAR K&N Pro Series West race at the Meridian Speedway in Meridian, Idaho. And guess what? In doing that, she became only the second female race winner in NASCAR history, joining Shauna Robinson, who won three races in 1988 and 89 in what is now defunct NASCAR Dash Series. And then if that's not enough, she wrapped up the season by winning the K&N Pro Series West Rookie of the Year. She finished fifth in the final standings. And if that's not enough, Forbes named her one of the women in sports to watch in 2019. So that being said, Ray, are you about to start watching more NASCAR and watching and rooting for Haley?
You want the truth or you want me to lie?
I want the truth, Ray. I mean, I'm the real Ken Nelson, which means I have to keep it real. So I want you to keep it real.
I'm going to be honest with you. I lived in Dover, Delaware for about 10 years. And, you know, they have the Dover Speedway there, the Green Mile. Or
yes.
The Long Mile. I don't even know what it's called, the Green Mile, Long Mile, whatever the name of it is. And I did not go to not one NASCAR race, so I don't plan on starting now. Honestly, I think it's bad for the environment, but don't get me started on that. I feel like it's a waste of gas. There's a whole lot going on with that, so I'm not even going to get on my
Oh, my gosh, let me find out you're an environmentalist, right? The things I
Hey, I'm green all the way, so don't get me started on that. But kudos to her. Congratulations. You're doing well. I'm always going to root from a distance, though. I just can't condone in that type of sport. It's something with racing, NASCAR. I just can't get into it. But
you can't get into it. All right.
She's doing big things. Woman crush every day.
Yes, we salute you, Haley. Well, I will be watching Haley. So at least one person from the show is rooting.
I'm just not watching.
I understand. We're going to change that, Ray. One of these days. It's my mission in life, Ray. And that being said, now, Ray, give us what's the next move in sports.
Oh, man, it's going to be a huge fight coming up. You know I'm a fight guy. So March 2nd at UFC 235, the man, the one, the only, the legend, my distant cousin, John Bones Jones, will defend his light heavyweight title against Anthony Smith. Jones, you know, he's 23-1. He's coming off a huge victory over Alexander Gustafsson at UFC 232. And they kind of got into a little sparring match with Anthony Smith because Anthony Smith was one of the commentators for the fight. He actually challenged him on air. So that's going to be a big fight coming up March 2nd. I'm excited for the fight. You always want to see John Bones do well. He had a little bit of controversy a couple years ago. It's good to see him rebuild his career and get back to his championship stature. So salute to my cousin John Bones, Jones, in the building.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All eyes will be on it. I'm excited for that, Ray. I feel like it's not getting enough promo. That's just my personal opinion. But we will be watching. We might have to be in the building, right? Might have to get out there.
Them little Vegas tickets ain't no joke. We could do it, though. If you want to get out there, we can try.
Ray, you just said you're the green man. That means you're green with money. I mean, you got to make it happen.
So, oh, no. I was referring to clean air.
Big difference. Well, that being said, my co-host Ray Jones unfortunately won't be at the fight, but he will be there in spirit. All right, so look out for him if you are there. Maybe he'll be next to you while you are in your VIP seats. But that being said, it is now time for us to close out the show. Unfortunately, Ray, we missed Tyrone this week, so we don't get to get any motivation heading into the week, which I'm kind of sad about. He kind of motivates me, Ray, for the week, but it's all right. We'll be all right. We'll stand strong. So we will now close out the show. But, Ray, I think this was a great show. We had Tulsa University, we had basketball coach. We awarded a former Detroit Lion with the Do Good Award. What was your favorite part of the show?
I think hands down it was the interview with Coach Pat, man. Just being able to pick his brain and get a lot of his basketball knowledge and just talk to him about, you know, he's been in the game for a long time. He's been a coach for a long time, an assistant, over 20 years. I didn't mean to embarrass him by saying that, but that's a lot of knowledge right there. So picking his brain was easily my favorite part of the show.
Yeah, and next time, Ray, don't make our guests feel old. We can pick their brains, but we don't make them feel old. In our book, everyone's under 30 on this show. All right. That being said, Ray, it's now time. Unfortunately, as they say in the good book, all good things come to an end, so we have to end out this show. So for everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. That's right. Each and every Tuesday, be sure to look out for a new show. And if that's not enough, the show is also available for download on iTunes and Google Play. That's right. Pull out your phones and hit download and subscribe to the show, because why? Your feedback and support truly do matter to us. And make sure you also subscribe, rate, and review the show. Until later this week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously like my co-host Ray, because guess what? There's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.